Good morning and good evening. Welcome to Awaken Talks, a space where we hold conversations with individuals whose inner journeys inspire us and whose outer work is transforming our world in large and small ways. Today, we have two very special guests who are going to talk about permaculture and life with us, Padma and Narsinna Koppula, in conversation with our volunteer, Gayatri Ramachandran. But before we go into that, I would invite all of us to step into a minute of silence to allow ourselves to be more fully present in the moment. Thank you. Thank you and welcome back. And now I will invite my friend Gayatri, who is a volunteer with Service Space, to take over. But before I do that, just a minute of introduction about Gayatri. So actually, Gayatri is a scientist by head, going to her PhD degree in biology from Tata Institute of Fundamental Research. But that was like the first part of her life. And then she is also a permaculture gardener by hands, and where she has a home garden in Chennai, which has more than 100 species of trees, shrubs, and herbs, and where she consistently keeps looking to design methods to move her family towards zero waste. She is also a non-violent communication, which is like a new language for life. She's a practitioner and a supporter of that. She's a meditator, she's a volunteer by heart, and she has been volunteering with Service Space for a very long time. And as she says that these various attempts, I think, in her way to move from the left brain towards invoking the heart towards is her attempt to listen more deeply and cultivate the field for what is ripe for emergence rather than what just one is planning by in one's own head. So thanks, Gayatri, for wearing those various hats and you know, inspiring us in so many different ways. And I welcome you to take over the conversation today. And just before that, one more thing is on the call flow that as all our audience is aware, I think we will have in the next hour, for 55 minutes or so, Gayatri will engage in a conversation with Padma and Narsinna. And in the last part of the call, we'll also have an opportunity to engage in audience questions and reflections. So as you are watching the talk, if you're watching it on live stream, you have a comment box in the live stream page itself where you can send in a comment or any question anytime during the conversation, and we'll take it towards the end of the call. Or you can also send in your questions via ask@servicespace.org by sending an email to ask@servicespace.org. So that's all from my end, and over to you, Gayatri. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. And it's such a great pleasure and honor to be in conversation today with Narsinna sir and Padma ma'am, who actually need no introduction to anybody who are in the Indian permaculture or natural farming community. They are permaculture legends. But for people who are maybe joining in and acquainting themselves with their work for the first time, I would say briefly that Narsinna Koppula is a pioneer Indian permaculture designer, an energetic and enthusiastic teacher, a passionate nature lover, and a staunch feminist. And Padma Koppula is the other hand of this pioneering permaculture couple whose superlative patience, amazing organizational skills, local farming knowledge, very inspiring capacity to work with women farmers and other marginal farmers holds the joint reins of this couple's life of service. And together, Padma and Narsinna Koppula founded Aranya Agricultural Alternatives in 1999. Which is an organization that's focused on permaculture advocacy and education in India, as well as worldwide. And their life's work has been working with transforming this land in Medak district in Telangana, an 11.5 acre farm called the Aranya farm, and Aranya is a Sanskrit word that means forest. Its transformation has been documented in so many different short documentaries and films, but it's gone all the way from barren, rocky wasteland to this lush forest with abundant topsoil and an abundance of humans who come to learn PDC, and so many other creatures, rock bees and birds and just a huge diversity of plants and trees. And it's really one of the most inspiring sites, natural farming sites in India to visit and learn from. And they also worked extensively with many, many small and marginal farmers to move them towards natural farming based practices and reclaim this connection to what is really a very old and ancient style of farming and gardening in India. So with that, I'd like to say welcome, ma'am and sir. We're so glad you're here. And maybe I thought we could just start because for some of our listeners, I'm not sure permaculture is a term that they are fully familiar with. So I was wondering if we could start with both of you just giving us your very short description of what permaculture is and touching a bit on especially its ethics, because it is so core to the heart of permaculture. And maybe speak a little about the principles of permaculture.
Yeah, this is Narasimha Koppula. As Gayatri introduced, and I don't know how much it's what she introduced about me, but I didn't realize that many things I'm keep doing. I'm not sure, but that's what might be I'm doing also. I don't know. I'm a person who thinks about the nature and the environment and people and poverty and the access to resources, that kind of person I am. I think the permaculture word itself very new, but the ethics, still it is in Indian context, I think the very important to look at. For Indians, permaculture word is maybe new, but not the permanent culture we have it. That's what I put it in, is very simple and very nutshell. So permaculture is a design science, but designing what? There's a only just simple, if you understand the designing of not forms actually, but they do it in different manner also. But I think the designing our mindset, designing our culture, designing our home, designing our profession, designing our language, design our attitude, approach. I think everything is a design is required. I think without design, if you do something, I think it is, you have to do work more. That's the only simple thing I wanted to tell you about permaculture. But as far as India is concerned, I think this is the word which makes us every activity, every attitude, every approach, we can see that the concern, the relationship, the beneficial relationship with one which with whom you want to work, with whom you want to live, and how you want to gain knowledge, inspiration, and your kind of help. I think these are all everywhere is the culture is relays. The culture lies there. I think totally we disconnected with that kind of life. The generosity which we are talking today, the generosity lost in all aspects. So there exactly the permaculture is little more connected to that kind of attitude and approach. That is why I selected this one of the way to go ahead with our knowledge and the science which we are talking today, how far it is achievable and admittable. These are all questions came to my mind. Then I thought, I think the best way to share my knowledge through the world called permanent agriculture. But agriculture, again, the history, if you look at the agriculture, is very short. But I want to go along with the civilization. No civilization, no culture can survive without agriculture. That is where exactly the agriculture word I can define most of the time. I think this agriculture, as today we made it a little more different, what we understood by agriculture, I think there is a green culture was there. That little bit worrying me to how we take this agriculture forward with understanding a little about Indian agriculture, at the same time Indian culture and ethics. That ethics is, I think, guided me to take into a different layer of looking at things, how we can make it best with the marginal, small and marginal farmers, where we can give a good culture of agriculture, not the agriculture as such. I think that culture we lost there, where we can come together, we can work. I think we understand each other, and what are the things which you are talking, not by talking, I think even practice, the permaculture is a practice. is a practical way of looking at the things and in another alternative way of life. Not just as a system, it is not just a thing which you need to follow and just forget. Is that we make the, any system, you have to make it a way of life. Then only you understand the whole cycle, the system, what is, how is working. I think where we can influence, where we can get things to better, much better, what we are presently doing. So that kind of permaculture we are talking. I think the world may be new, but for us Indians, I think is not a new. I think I have a lot of, if you look at my notes, I always repeat some of the systems. So the permaculture is a design system, contains nothing new. It arranges what was always there in a different way, so that it works to conserve energy, generate more energy than it consumes. Simple. I think it is, if you make it what today we are doing with the agriculture, is everything is an energy consumption. The consuming energy, I think you are getting, you are doing 10 units of energy you are spending to get one unit of energy. I think where does it come from? The energy, where does it come from, is the issue. If you think about energy, you whole cycle, definitely you will look at the cycle of energy, how does it possible to get minimized. I think what is today we are depleting the resources. I think that resources are very, very precious. We are not supposed to do that. We have to hand over the resources to in better shape to the next generation. So that's where exactly permaculture deals. I think at the same time, the ancient, that way, it is nothing new except for the word permaculture. It is based on the careful observation of natural ecosystems, the forces acting in the natural world, and the wisdom of traditional agricultural practices. So ancient thought and wisdom and indigenous systems of knowledge were in harmony with nature. All thought, behavior, and practices flow from the observation of nature and in harmony with the laws operating in and governing the natural world. The idea of human being over and above the natural world was aligned to thought and wisdom, especially of the Orient. This is perhaps history. But if you look at real world, what is happening today, I think you never thought of what this kind of turn will take into our minds of people today. Is everything is just culture is removed by the business. I think there, I think it's an issue of not only just business, not only just about the doing agriculture. I think we have to stick to our morals and ethics and the respect and more tradition and a lot of wisdom we had, where how we can bring back them, not possible, but we can work with them. That is a simple message I wanted to give through this webinar to the all the people. I think the great knowledge, you already have a lot of exposure to different fields and what small change we can make, and forget about the world. I think change, the small change in yourself, and then you think about your family, then you think about your neighbors, then you think about your village. I think the steps are very, very small, but very, very important. So where we can make the change, you look for that, where the lacuna is there, that gap, if you find anything, what is the changes are possible, if you act very consciously, I think definitely you are possible to do some change. For that change, I am looking for this through this kind of webinars. That's what I started my journey in permaculture since last 35 years.
Thank you so much, sir. Panna ma'am, maybe you could just quickly describe a little about the ethics.
Permaculture, it's like ethical based. Like the ethics are so beautifully designed. Like care of earth is like all the life forms on the planet Earth. If they are safe, if they are happy, so people will be taken care of. So the people care will come, speaks about the second ethic. All life forms are happy, whatever the needs of the people, like material and non-material things, like your fresh air, fresh food, nutritious food, you will get from that planet Earth. So that's what we have to interact between the life forms on the planet Earth. Then you will meet your needs. Then everything is safe and fair share also will happen. The fair share comes from whatever the resources which we have on the planet Earth. All lives, they have to share whatever they need. So, and also like it's like Pamukkasi talks about the future shares also. Now the present generation, if anything exhausts the resources, what about your future generation? Now there is a time has come up to speak about now the my next gen. I don't need to give the big properties and big assets. Now we have to think about how I have to give my next generation fresh air, nutritious food, and good health. This we have to talk about now. So unless there is a time has come, now every human being on the planet Earth need to respond to do their share of the action towards the nature, because the care of Earth, like whatever the actions which we did so far, maybe knowingly, unknowingly, the damage has done. So to speedy recovery, if you do, like the situation is like that. If a patient is in ICU, if you treat them, they will recover soon maybe. If you are not treating, it may die. So that's what every human being on the planet Earth need to respond by planting a trees. That's where, like if the plant kingdom is there, all the animal kingdom, birds, human beings, everybody will be happy on the planet Earth. So whatever we need also, we are happily, we can receive. We don't need to be so stressful. That the ethical base, if you understand properly, if you follow in our life system, we don't need to feel anything. We don't need to worry about anything about it. So that's what I feel about the ethics of the permaculture.
So one of the questions I want to ask is, Narasimha sir talked about also start with yourself, start with your first connection to nature. So because we in this series of conversations would try to look at people's life journeys to find sources of inspiration, I was curious, when was your first point of connection for both of you in childhood or young adulthood maybe, where you first formed this connection with, you know, soil as sacred and this sense of nature connection, this deeper connection? Did you come from natural farming backgrounds? And maybe do you have a memory of that first moment when you felt that connection? Could you tell us something about that?
I've seen a lot of memories. I think not memories doesn't come true sometimes, but I had some, still I remember a few things. After your talk, I realized, I think it's a very interesting, very, I myself, I got surprised after hearing to you about that question. I think I am from Adilabad, actually, very, how I am connected to this greenery and plant. I am not a botany student. I am totally the history and the political science person. Then I did my philosophy and law, nothing to do with agriculture. But my connection, my intuition, almost born and brought up in a very lush green jungle, Adilabad district, where I am from, hails from. I think unconsciously why I am so attracted to this kind of green revolution, not the present green revolution, the green culture started within the Adilabad itself. So also we were from the tribal, living with the forest. I was from the same area. I was with the forest, but I didn't realize, I think this is much of important of greenery of on this planet Earth, and for people, everybody need this kind of greenery. When I came out from that greenery and forest, I realized how important it is. I think then I thought it's a very easy to convert, talk about this greenery, and is easy for me to convince people to how to grow the green. So that is the one connection. And the soil, when I didn't know much about the green revolution and pesticides and fertilizers. But the soil, when I am from Adilabad, the soil was so rich and it was so, smell is so beautiful and very tasty. I was used to smell it, but never eat. I think I tried one day, I tried to eat it also, but I didn't know about different kind of soil. I would have known, I would have differentiated this soil and that soil. But I was from the forest area, there's the only soil I know, very rich. Rich or poor, when I know, I will compare. There's no comparison at all. When I came out of the from forest, then I realized, okay, this is a living soil, that the dead soil or not rich soil. It's a poor soil. That's how my comparison started. I think background is my agriculture family. My father used to do, there's no chemical or any agriculture, is only one. There's no chemical, organic, that kind of classification, category was not there. But slowly, when my father was growing crops, so I was helping them, but I not looked at what he was doing. So just one day, I thought he was growing in one patch of land, piece of land is a paddy. So he was transporting all the manure to one piece of land. But other land is not very caring at all. I think it is totally, he was having a different variety, and this where we are using the land for our own consumption is a different land. He was transporting all the manure to that land. Rest of the land is not transported anything. So then I realized, I think this is whatever you use that land is very ethically, and you use all the organic manures and your cow dung and farmyard manure and thing. What is that? I think differentiated me. Then I realized, I think, what is this? If you eat good food, and those are, you want to sell the rice to market, you wanted to grow it differently. What is this? Then I didn't understand. Then I realized, I think this is where exactly the soil fertility is going down. A piece of land, he wanted to put that land under more fertile so that he could get the good food, and he wanted to keep our own entire, my family, my people, I think the safe with giving a good food. I think that is how I realized most of the questions when you pose some of these questions. I think it's very, very important. Still, I remember in my village, the many people do this practice. Now this is already gone, but just I'm correlating what I was doing and what my father used to tell that, and how he's practicing. I think the green culture and the soil and the fertility and poor or rich, and the social structure also, I started comparing. The social structure also in the soils, when it's a poor or rich, I think it is applies to social structure also. There are poor people and rich people. Rich people are belongs to owning the rich lands, and the poor people are owning the poor soils. I think we have to do a lot of work. I think exactly there I wanted to hit the ball into the court of poor people lands. That is our social responsibility to heal those soils by applying some of these permaculture techniques, and definitely we can use a lot of biomass, a lot of manure plants, nitrogen fixers and farmyard manure, compost, whatnot. I think this is one of the challenging lands to do. I think definitely we can prove it is possible through getting the soil back to what we were doing earlier.
For me, I came from the agriculture family. My family is full of so many varieties of crop they used to grow, like rice and sugarcane, groundnut, sesame, all vegetables. And this kind of crops, when they are growing, after the crop harvesting, there are many people used to come. Like Dobi will come and he will take his portion of it, and the working persons from other community will come, they will take their portion of it, and the watering fellow will come and he will take his portion of it. Like my responsibility is every day morning, get up by 4 o'clock, and whatever my mom gives the milk and selling the milk, that is cash portion to get every 10 days. That's how my family runs. We are the four sisters. Our four sisters' needs will be met by the only dairy. And the agriculture systems is the food security. My mom taught me, whoever comes to your home, just feed them. So we have food is abundance in my home. Always we used to give them, we are in the so richness of the food. And at the same time, one day I went to my aunt's home, and we have 20 acres of the land. My aunt has only 2 acres of the land. So when we went there, what she said was, we have 2 acres, we are rich enough. Though you have 20 acres, you're not so rich in cash. Because the way we wear the dresses, we are when you do agriculture, how your homes are, so many stuff, it will be filled and it will not be nice. Then that is, even now I don't forget the word she mentioned. By the time they used to grow the cotton. So they used to sell the cotton, and they have a lot of money by that time. So they used to support us in several ways. And then when I become a teenager and graduate, by the time their village has been, not many people are living in the same place. They migrated to different places. because the crops are not doing then so much of indebtedness, all these things are I could see with my eyes. So even that's where I realized that like how important it is. And also like another thing which I can share is in after I like started working in one of the organization like DFID project, there like there are many people working together. So always my colleagues are worrying about if the contract is over, what is next? So for me and Nasana also, both of us, we don't never feel about stress because we know how to produce the food. So when you know, if you have a piece of land, if you know how to produce the food, you don't need to worry about anything. You don't need to stress about anything about it. That's where I feel like maybe the childhood connections so given a lot of confidence to us to move and to make a decision in our lifetime.
But when you said that, was this chemical farming that they were doing in your village during your childhood? Because the soil fertility was going down and they were switching to cotton and over a period of time? Or was it natural farming?
Like my childhood days, like it's not fully organic.
Okay.
Like in my home, hardly we find maybe one or two bags of chemical fertilizers.
Mm.
But so much of farmer manure and tank silt. So summer season when they comes, like in the month of May and early June, so like entire biggest responsibility is to bullock cars and working transport the farmland manure because there is a big heaps are there. We have plenty of animals by that time. And also, especially the cropping system, if you see, there will be a lot of crop residues, like layers and layers of the crop residues will be preserved as a fodder. It will be given as a fodder, and then the manure will be collected in the big bunches and transported with the, like, it is also a ship system. Because we have a different land holdings. So this year, if you do the one land farmland manure application, next year another land. Next year, like phase wise, they used to be. And also every summer there is a system of transporting of the tank silt.
Mm.
A tank silt application also will be there almost every 3 years. And by that time, it is also the effort. If you have a transport, like if you have bullock cart and the people around you, whoever has a capacity, they used to transport that tank silt application.
Mm.
This is how the practices will be that time. And also, like, I have not seen the pesticides when I was in childhood.
Mm.
Maybe when I was in intermediate to graduation time, then I could see chemical fertilizers. And then cropping pattern has been changed. So the food crops shifting to cotton, maize, and then rice. The three become major crops, like groundnut, sesame, all other crops has been like taken back step. So this is now like within that, like if you see the trend analysis, every 5 years, 10 years, if you review back, so there is a shift is happening in the cropping system. And also along with that, the practice is also changing in the cropping system. So this is how like things are changed slowly into the development mode. And also when I was young, in my childhood days, like the first rains comes, first plantation will be done only vegetable seeds.
Mm.
So whatever the seeds, vegetable seeds which I have, first I'll plant it. We'll plant it, and then whatever the seed excess is there, so my responsibility is to go and ask others, I'll give these seeds, do you have any other seeds, like do you have bitter gourd seeds, do you have any other seeds? Like that we used to get and share the seeds. That system is like, nowadays I cannot see anything like that. It's like everything is marketed and hybrid, and those things has been taken over.
Mm.
Change in cropping systems, change in practices, change in food habits has been changed many things. And meanwhile, like when my after the I got married when I was 30 years old, the like diabetes started in my village.
Mm.
So like one by one, it's like now I think it's like taken over, diabetes taken over. Like these kinds of things, like even now I can see in my village, I can found a 10 cancer patients. I think 50% of the diabetic patients. So the going to the hospitals every day, I can see in my own village, because the mindset, it has been taken for the money.
If people
can think that we can do everything. Like I can just give the one of the example in last week when I went to my niece home, her aunt is suffering with the cancer. Like, so when you are spending money for the food, when you are want to buy the good food, like if it is expensive, we are just worry about we don't spend money or we don't grow for ourselves. When you has a cancer, you are ready to spend 10 lakh rupees. Like these things, it's all in our mindset. And also I just give the one of the example, like when my mother was living with me for some days, like few months, and then she saw me how I'm growing vegetables in my backyard and the kind of taste and other things. Like she used to make diversified food within the vegetables available at the home.
Mm.
After she gone back to my home, she started growing her vegetables in our backyard. Like these things, like sometimes when you are disconnected to something, you need to have again some experience to connect back. I've seen these things in my life. Even my dad is now doing chemical free farming with the 1 acre land and providing a lot of food for all grandchildren.
Yeah.
So, again, shift has taken place.
So I think so much, like a lot of what you talked about is really how, you know, this whole monetary angle, the idea of trying to make money out of agriculture versus, you know, agriculture being providing Anna Swaraj, nutrition security, food security, like so many of these, so many of Gandhian principles, and being taking care of yourself and your community, and therefore automatically taking care of your health, is so much of that is because of this element of money that came in, right? So I'm just curious, what do you like? And we live in this world where we still need money. In some sense, because people are, we still feel we need to do something more with our life than just maybe, you know, a farm, a small piece of land and eat well and live well. And we also live in such a diversified world, like not everybody in urban areas like where I am has complete access. Like you have some access, but you can't grow all of your food maybe in the terraces or in apartment buildings. So what do you feel like, you know, what's the kind of middle path we can walk in the times we right now are? In. And even I would think of your own experience of how you, what is this relationship you both have personally with this concept of money and this and living in the gift, because so much of your work still you do as you distribute seeds and saplings and so, and your knowledge and your wisdom as a gift, and you've not made money the primary focus of your life, but that's an interesting balance. And so personally, I was just curious how you have lived that balance, and how do you think others can, you know, how can others do something to think about this?
Yeah, it is a little philosophical and as well, not just is a issue of money. I think it is a, I think if we're frankly speaking about this system, now we are living in a capitalism, no doubt about it. It is capitalism trapped you almost in every step. It cannot come out from the capitalism, the trap of capitalism. And you have to, but you can do small things. You can peep through that capital trap. So that much you can do it. I think everywhere, everyone want to have a good food and good money and everything. There's agriculture is not source. There are other sources where you can share your knowledge and share your ethics, share your morals, share your information. I think there is a lot of fair share basis. You can do lots of things. It doesn't mean that only the money is not only issue of through agriculture. I think there are ways to do that. I think better why we are talking this kind of thing is because everybody does agriculture. Everybody doesn't have land also. Everybody, agriculture also not good because the diversity lost in the society and in the structure. I think the diversity is very important. Diversified skills are important. Diversified information is important. I think in this course of middle path, I always like to do those who have, let them have the land. They are called landholders and landless and the rich and poor. All these categories are there. But I am talking in a different perspective of making money. I think is a middle path. Always there are ways to be whatever the job you are doing, whatever the work you are doing, be ethical. So it's money is not issue today. I think the ethics are issue.
If
you have that kind of thing, I don't say it's a business is wrong or this is not wrong. It's a livelihood issue. Livelihood also, because when you are selling your produce, selling your materials and you're getting some money, I think that is there, but don't sell your ethics. Based on the ethics, I think the people, those who have not access to the resources, our main job to make the resources, access them to, make them to access to the resources. Resources could be natural resources, resource could be your land, resource could be your information, your skills. I think we are holding them. I think that holding in our entire life system, I think that if you look at everywhere, we are holding all the resources with us. We are trying to dominate or piracy, or we wanted to dictate, or we want to make a money out of it. I think that kind of culture does not fit into our ethics. I think that just I wanted to make little differentiate. Even in my entire my life, even when I was in a movement, even when my little more revolutionary, even where I was come from, I think there also the land, the soil, the forest, the animals, the how we were living together in the forest, in the outside also. But when you come to open, I think the everything got changed because the culture has been got changed. I think how you stick to that culture, I think what are the way of, I think I'm not saying everybody need not to be share everything, but share also there is a profit. Profit, you can make a lot of very good business out of your ethical business as well. I think agriculture is not only doing agriculture, you have to rearing animals also, one of the step is there. Integration is possible. You can do your beekeeping, you can do your composting, nursery, a lot of things you can do it. I think through them, what is the skill? I think the skills is one of the today's issue. I think so everyone need not to have access to the good vegetables, but you can support a farmer.
Yeah.
I think you can talk to them, you can know them. I think you within the things you try to localize it rather than just go out of your boundaries. I think there's no frontiers for your thinking, but think locally. I think definitely you'll create a local resources and you encourage shandies, local markets, and definitely the economy will go to there, and definitely you will be more feel happy. And that kind of encouraging these kind of things are also indirectly you are helping, but the profits are 10 rupees are also profit, 1 rupee also profit. But there should be I am expecting 1 rupee profit, I am expecting 10 rupees profit, somebody is expecting 1 rupee profit. But the gap, look at the gap, 9, 8 rupees are huge. I think, but you have to satisfy somewhere. Ethical basis could be the 1 rupee, 2 rupees. I think you should feel happy. You have to limit yourself where I can do better job. I think that is the ethics you must have in any business to make money. Money, I'm not saying the money is not required. Money for your education and your studies and your marriages and house and all these things are there. But what kind of needs you have it? I think that you can make your life is beautiful, not just like miserable life. I think you can continue with the whatever the way of the thought process you have. With that, if you go some ideological, at the same time some ethical, some philosophical base is required. I think all these things will make you understand the world cycle where you are living around you, what kind of society, what kind of things are happening, how they are trying to cheat you. I think these are some awareness, and at the same time the people wanted to understand you, and at the same time your approach towards those issues little more be addressable, and it should be more harmonious. Then definitely will get better. I think we'll understand others also. That's where the awakened people are. Every time when I talk, I think the more generosity, I think the gift economy, I think words are makes more feel happy. I think in agriculture, why can't we use that? I think that is very, very important approach. That's where I make it the middle path. Always need not be a rigidity. A permaculture is very inclusive, not exclusive. I not a dogmatic approach. It is a very flexible approach. Think that you do that, definitely you will find a lot of middle paths. Definitely we can reach those goals by practicing some of these things. That's what I think is a, money is not an issue. I think is our issue is our mindset is a problem.
Even like what I feel is like money is like if you are like my experience speaks about if you are living on the farm, okay. So if you have all the resources, like the production which is producing so much, like I can give the example of Aranya farm, like so much of abundance of production is coming. So until how you preserve it, because once it is abundance has come, how we have to eat for the entire year, how we can how we can consume for the entire year. So that's where we can reduce our cost and also production. Like you need to have a chicken. So how the chicken and the, how many eggs your consumption, how many eggs your production, what are the needs? Like the milk, eggs, chicken, food, fruits, vegetables. Like if you are abundance of these things at your farm, like you don't need to worry about the money, I said. So like money comes from like what are the things you want to buy are for transportation. Maybe if I am using a computer, if I am using a phone, if I am TV watching a TV, a money is required. So earlier days, we don't have these things. The is the first priority. That's where they're not worrying about the much money about it. Now the food is not available to buy them. We need money.
Mm.
How we can generate? We started for the permaculture PDC people. So the community has started growing some potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
The community started making jaggery. Huh. Based on the requirement of exchanging the value they provided for the potatoes and the value they given the jaggery, they exchanged it.
Mm-hmm.
So the eggs which we have, we are giving for the seed. So, like each festival, if the abundance is there, I can give as a gift.
Yeah.
This is the seed which I am giving as one chicken to you. You have to give two chickens to me, not to me. So give two chickens to within the same community.
Yeah.
How we started, somewhere we have to start something. Like these things are started happening. Then the cost of living, if you see, if you live on the farm, you don't need much demand for the money. Not farm means where the production is happening. If you are living in the city, yes, money is so much of required. The demand versus supply you need to think about.
Yeah. I thought, beautiful. I I think very real life examples of how you navigate these questions. But I was also, I think, curious about how just in your own life, like like you mentioned, permaculture is a design science that one applies to all spheres of life, not just the land. But in your own life, and as a couple, as you've both worked in this field and worked with farmers, I was wondering if you could tell us how you've used permaculture design principles to just look at more harmony and more optimization of energy flow in your daily activities. How you go about your just division.
Yeah, I think there's some technical glitch on Gayatri's side. So while she's back, Padma and Narsana, I think you got a drift of the question asking, right? That can you give some examples or stories from your life where these principles of permaculture, which you referred that are universal principles, you find them, if you find applying them in your own life, whether in relationships, as a family, or whether in dealing with other farmers, so many farmers you engage with, and so on. You are on mute, so you'll have to unmute yourself before you speak.
Yes. the sharing of the responsibilities between that is like very important. Sharing like at Aranya level, working with the farmers and communities at home. Like we divided into like this. So I took the management responsibility of the different angles. So Narsana has taken the responsibility, not responsibility, like his passion and his interest and his involvement. So he has taken more like his life has taken it completely dedicated to the permaculture. Not only permaculture, like any nature. So he is the he'll be there always. So like that, like I learned lots of things from him. Like for me also, he's like guru. Like I learned a lot of things. Like I did the PDC with him. So before I did the PDC with Narsana. So we used to have a little bit of conflicts, even though once I've been involved in the permaculture, like Narsana has taken complete permaculture on land resources and natural resources. So like that, he takes many things into the lead. And especially in the management, working with the communities and organization management, I have taken, because my skill, my passion, I have taken the responsibility. And within the farm also, if you take that, if you see that, my interest is like more in the feeding of the animals and chickens and these aspects. Like Narsana is always about the wild animals, wild birds, fruits, like wild forests, natural one, native one. He give a lot of preference to them because he has a deep understanding about trees and plants and other things. Like what I do is like how the animal will be taken, how the chicken will be taken, how the vegetable. I'm interested in more in the production aspect. And also I do most of the thing, harvesting and the preserving and processing. Narsana is in more in planting, taking care of these things. We have taken, like we took the lead roles in the farm management. Even now, my children has come. Now they are involving some extent.
Beautiful. Welcome back, Gayatri. Narsana sir, I think you had something to share. And before that, I would just add one side question to it because this is like so interesting for me. And then hand it over back to you guys, is that you spoke about sharing of responsibility, but I would just want to sort of understand that deeper, sharing of responsibility is something which we understand, like all of us, every human who has worked at home or at work understand that. But what does permaculture have to say about the nuance? Like, I'm sure like there's something more in it than just, this is my job and this is your job. Like if I relate it back to my working days, we all work in job description, that this is your job description, this is not my job description. So no, this is not my work. And if I end up doing your work, it's like a favor I'm doing to you. But is it similar like in permaculture principles, or is it like something different? Is there a nuance which you would like to share with us on sharing of responsibility as well? I don't know if I was able to explain my question, but...
No, this is where the permaculture, I think, is a very little more, not exactly the division of labor or is a responsibility sharing among family members. I think it is beyond that. So what exactly the permaculture way, if you look at the things, I think the integration is very, very one of the very important aspect rather than segregation. I think they're not segregating the things, but the community level and the production level and the family level and the society level, I think we try to integrate the information, the cultures, the skills, and looking at their abilities and how best we can integrate with them to understand the whole cycle of these lives and the life chain almost, so how it is possible to work with them in every way, wherever it is used to go. I think first the observation is the one of the key. So that's where I never used to talk much, but in some of the areas I went, and most of the time I use very, very, not very liked by many people, but even in Padma's case, I used to say most of the time, fortunately, unfortunately, she is my wife. But it doesn't mean that how I think she may not think. So this is the one that naturally things will happen, but doesn't mean that follower. You are not a follower. You have to use your observation. What is happening in the nature? Is it because we got married? Just because of that, you need not to change your attitude towards the things. I think that is not a natural. It's unnatural. I think that's where exactly the things which you observe, the things, I think when I go to a farmer, I never talk to him. I think how these principles and ethics are very important to observe a thing and then you listen to them. If you conclude come to a conclusion, I think need not even open. I think you have to read more. I think going to a farmer, I think is the soil is good or bad, or what you are growing, these kind of questions, I think is not right. He's not a medical doctor to just check in, this is what your deficiency, and this is pH levels are low. I think you have used this medicine and giving just prescription, does not work. I think the nature is so great in your human attitudes, and the natural way how you collage these two things is very, very difficult. When I go to a farmer, I'll ask him, I think I never get into an argument. I never get into a controversial thing. I think the controversial is, what is the controversial things? I think the farmer does not like to go into the chemical or non-chemical, chemical-free farming. But I never address those issues. I will talk about other than issues. There are 100 things are there which are non-controversial. So if you address those issues, you will be more comfortable position. You are giving leverage to speak and express is the right to express also there. I think we have to continue those kind of right to expression. Then they will freely, they will share with their knowledge. There the bridge will start. So bridging this gap by how you approach to the farmer, what kind of non-controversial issues with you, don't touch those things. I think you touch the issues which is concerned to him. I think how you understand this, there is no book for it, but you can learn by understanding the farmer's issues. Or when I go to the women, I think the problems are different, problems are there. If you address only the agriculture, they don't ready to listen because there are 100 other issues are there. I think these kind of things, when you talk to them, very, very important to understand their whole cycle of their life cycle, not only agriculture. If you talk about agriculture, I think what about the children education, what about the children schooling, and the animals and their environment and their food and how much their family, they are facing the health issues. I think this whole cycle of things are important. Then ultimately you can touch upon what kind of food you are eating, where you are going, maybe come later. But how many people are today, we are working with the agriculture families. I think most of our Indian context, many farmers are average landholding is 2.3 acres. And moreover, is 60% of lands are landless. I think these landless people, how you address them, these are all just, you look at a same cycle, I think is not possible. We have to look at in a different level, different kind of things is possible, where we can work with them. I think that kind of approach I had in the beginning, I think slowly I got changed my, I went to tribal area. Tribal area, I think is very interesting. The tribal area, I don't know the Gond, though I'm from tribal area, but I don't know the Gond language, but I want to work with him, but work with them. I think whether I want to work with them, they wanted me. That is the issue. How you establish this relationship? I need them do some work with them, but they are not willing. But how to express that? So then several times I keep moving them and I approach them and talking to different issues, not agriculture issue or not planting or nothing. Just general topic, I was talking to them, what is happening in their villages, what are the roads, how you approach it, when do you go to the hospital, the general things I was keep talking. So slowly the rapport built. After the rapport, I started working on different issues slowly. Social is a very sensitive issue. At the same time, food is also a very sensitive matter. The social and these things are very, but environmental issues you can talk. That is a middle path I chosen. I talked about their forest and what are the firewood and everything, that kind of thing. Slowly I got into them, I think, but I could not express. I wanted to teach several things, but I could not talk in their language. So one day I wanted to train them. I wanted to teach them how to plant a tree, but they are living in the forest. But the tree teaching, planting is the, for me, it is, I think they are living in forest. Why should I teach them to how to plant? What is the need of planting them? But I think they were, didn't say anything, but I started some food plant I planted in their backyard. So while doing that, I think they kept quiet. I was also not able to speak in their own language, but I was only doing the only practical things. But they followed me. So immediately after planting, I started mulching them. The mulching is, I think, the next to me, there was a tree of teak plants. All the teak plants I just I collected like this, gathered, and I put it and then mulched it around the plant, the covering the soil. I think without speaking for 1.5 hours, nothing, I didn't spoke to them, anything, just I doing this activity, they observed whatever I did. I think the after 1 week I went there, by the time they mulched all the with the teak leaves. How I did it, they also followed the same thing. I think then I got understood. I think language is not at all barrier to work with the communities like this. I think it should not become a barrier. So if the language is a barrier, I think you would be in trouble. That's the reason just I wanted, I think practice is important. Then I think Paramahansa, then I realized, I think not talking, I think is the practice and practical is very important to communicate, work with this kind of communities, very easy. I think that is a, some of the principles that I'm trying to understand myself by observation, by looking at them and their attitude and how I can teach them. These are all a lot of natural things are possible to go with them and teaching these kind of things I was practicing. Then I understood, I think, not talk much. Whatever your demands, whatever your knowledge may be with you, but not for others. I think let us integrate. They're also knowledgeable. They're also a lot of information. Why don't you consider the knowledge, like try to from others as well. You go as a student, you learn. If you go as a teacher, you cannot learn that kind of thing. So the integration and the observation and some of the, these are the one of the basic, very fundamental. And then I started interacting with all these principles where I was trying to implement them. I think is the conservation is one of the, my foundation of my entire my permaculture journey. I looked at everything is a, not a production side, only conservation side. If you do one person conserve and 100% people produce, I think that is where the relationship starts. Everybody look for the production side. I think does not as a result you will be in almost only loss or some damage will happen. But conservation is very, very important. Conserve, more conserve, energy conservation, forest conservation, ecosystem, water bodies, everything. Conserve and then you depend on the conservation. You can talk your preservation and your practice and your production, whatever you can start, but not the thing of one person. I think as you talk about conservation, I think 100 people will work on those conservation to save and no depletion of those resources. That's what exactly I learned from permaculture.
And also like what Nasanna said was like, whatever the things which we start in our life, it, always it will be a small one. So like based on the experiences, we'll scale it up. So always we follow that principle in our life system, always small with the start, and also integration, like several things, how we can integrate and how energy efficient. So these principles we apply in our life also. In the farming systems at the community level, when we are working with the farmers and tribals. So wherever the like professional way also we apply these principles, like it's like it has given great results to us. So that's where like the journey has given me very smooth running and also very positive response to from everyone.
Yeah, even in my daily life, I was respond to change actually, but not the accepting feedback is a little difficult. I'm a little arrogant in many things, but how you can combine this respond to change? But I'm very that already instinct. It is all my birth. It may be there. I think I will very respond very spontaneity. It is with me. But the feedback was little contradicting every time. How should I accept the feedback? So this is I could not solve many times, but I failed also. But I think it's some accidentally might have happened several times, but I'm not sure how it does works. But I think it's a very, very the creativity and the no waste and all this, what we talk, somewhere it is reflects, it expresses, but we never, we cannot see the direct principle apply to our, even our own, in my children, even my children never asked what you are studying. Even though I think which country she was studying, I never even asked that. Even I don't want to remember that country also where she was living. And then I asked, how many marks you got it? I never used to ask. I think that self-regulation is not there with themselves. How do you work with the people? Maybe they're same dialogue I will use to say. Fortunately, unfortunately, they're my children, but not the children. I think they're adults and they know many things. I think how can you treat them as a, how can you limit their knowledge? I think this is where exactly the life also, very smooth life, unnecessarily will make it very complicated. I think you leave them, I think they're the best people, best citizens of India or country or world, whatever it is. So how you, this nature is a, so great is a society. When you come to the nature to society, societal issues are many. I think is, we see they're also one among in the society. They're not separate just because of Narsana children, permaculture teacher children, they should be separate. No, it is an integration. They were living with the society. So how you look at them as a, as your children or your, like other people, like those who are living in the society. So personal level, at the community level, at the national level, how you step to go that level to understand the whole cycle of this nature is important rather than just looking at an element. It's just thinking.
Thank you so much for that, sir and ma'am. And I, one of the things that's always been very inspiring for me is how you've always lived this ethic of first making the connection. So first, in some ways, leading with people care, like you said, build a rapport, make the connections. And then even if you have this very urgent activist agenda of earth care and wanting to really conserve resources and do something, you start always with making the connections with people, and then like you said, let your actions speak, you know, lead with more actions and lead from a place of equal power dynamic, in the sense of always accepting that even others have something to teach you, even if right now maybe they're doing chemical farming and it feels like you want to switch that, but you still always in your mind at least assume constantly, not assume, like try and live into that principle at least, that, you know, everybody has some knowledge to share and wisdom shared. I just want to remind our listeners that if you have any questions for sir and ma'am, you could either put it on the chat tab in the live stream page, or you can send us an email at ask@servicespace.org. So ask@servicespace.org. We've already got some questions, and I thought I would ask one because it ties in a bit with what sir was talking about, which was parenting. So this question is from Brinda in California. And she says, I appreciate what you said about the importance of people sharing their resources in whatever form those resources are, whether it's knowledge, et cetera. And can you give an example of how one could use these principles of permaculture in human relationships, for example, in parenting? So I thought it was connected a bit with what you were already speaking to, which is that, which also a lot of people in this whole unlearning journey, people who engage in what is called de-schooling or unlearning, talk about, which is children have their own knowledge and their wisdom, and they know how to engage and find it, and we don't need to be the ones teaching them, maybe, whether as parents or schools. But yeah, maybe a personal example or something of how some permaculture design principle has helped you in parenting.
Okay. So as far as parenting is concerned, like how, what are the activities which you are doing? If you are involving them, they will be connected.
Mm.
Because my children, like always in the, like they used to go to school evenings. Evenings, we used to work in the garden, like sowing the seed. And like my son, especially when your pomegranate leaves, when you're like, something is happening to your body, like diarrhea, something is happening. He said, Mommy, come, you give me the pomegranate leaf, crushed leaf paste. You give me that. Or fenugreek, you give me that. Like involving children, each and every activity, you don't need to teach special things.
Mm.
That's where I feel like the sowing of the seed, after they eat the fruit, they'll take out the seed and preserve it. And the sun-dry it and keep it in the bottle. So when they're childhood days itself, so they are involved into these kinds of things. And also like whatever the like like sharing the seeds, if they have seeds, like offering to the seeds, sharing of the things to others. So once they are into the these kinds of things in your family, it will be in your life, part of your life.
Yeah, coming to the, that is very interesting. I think the parenting is, I think again, that is a, you have to read the book of When to Born. Okay. I think it's a very nice book. Everybody can follow that. I think the parenting is, again, this is a little more dictating their terms as well. I think this is where exactly I learned from nature. I think that's where the superior, the humans we thought is a very superior.
Mm.
He said that's why we damaged everything and ruined everything. I think same principle, if you apply to your family and your children, I think it's one of the best learning. I think these are space you give them. They are the very good learners. I think they are creators. I think that opportunity we have never given them. I think that's why they think always, I think if I do this, what they do think. I think that kind of space don't give. I think that's where the nurture, learn, this, taught so many things. I think the superiority, they're all are there and the society is there and all life forms are there. And these life forms, we have to multiply them. Multiplication is required in this system where you have to keep them. I think you have to work with the living beings, living things. I think that will multiply. No dead material, dead thing will give a burn to another birth. So that is why they exactly the parenting is also, if you think about, I think don't kill their enthusiasm, whatever the talent skills they have, by giving suggestions, make them alive. Definitely that will burn in many ways. That's what I think in the nature and the, even the society, even the thinking, thought process, everything is equal. I think is a very same way it will work. That's what I believe in permaculture. I think most of the principle you think of that the creativity we are losing, how the creativity happened, and the creativity almost, is a, that's why the if you look at the one of the principle of butterfly, I think can changes as per the convenient and how they want to think, how do they want to represent, how do they want to express. I think this kind of creativity is come through only your innovations, your innovative ideas. Ideas, we have to, first we have to, somebody has to give that, you know, to give ideas, you let them give a space for them to think, definitely you'll get that idea. So we are giving that, but we are thinking, we are making very good parenting. Parenting is, I think, a parenting and patenting, I don't know. It's always doubtful. So just, I look at it as an, in that way.
Thank you. I think there was just a lot of really beautiful, really nuggets of wisdom in there that a lot of us will hopefully revisit. So I think there are a couple of questions here that are people are thinking about this whole idea of ethics that you talked about. So there's a question from Jagdish who is asking that nowadays a lot of people use tractor for cultivation. And do you think that would be against the ethics of permaculture? And so how does, so, and this is, I think, a question that you can answer so well because you're always walking the middle path of wanting to build soil and try and go towards no-till and natural farming and mulching. But a lot of farmers are in a, on a, I mean, for whatever reasons, people have certain ways of wanting to do farming for ease and convenience. So, so yeah, maybe some thoughts on just walking that middle path in this.
Yeah, I, after this webinar, I will take a middle path permaculture, I start.
That's a good one, yes.
Yeah, middle path permaculture. Sure, I like that actually, because the, I already told, I expressed my views on that, the dogmatic approach, I don't want to. So realistic also, it should be close to be reality and a little bit close to the nature. At the same time, middle path also is a possible, because it's not, we cannot say no right or wrong in permaculture. There's no those two things. It may be right for me, it's a wrong, but who judge? So that's the whole issue about it. So the tractor issue is not straight. If I put the tractor issue, my issue will be that in permaculture, tractors are not banned or not wrong. I'm not saying, but we are never expressed, we never teach about how to plow with the tractor. That's the only thing. Okay, but that is up to your scale and your convenience and where you are from, what is the conditions, the situations, resources, that's up to you. But do think again. There's a 4 hours we have. The refuse and what is that? Recycle and refuse. reduce and reuse. I think you, before do this, you have to add one more R, rethink. The best. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble, number one. Number two, I put that everybody doesn't have animals because the animal inclination is how this declination is happening. Totally not that easy to keep animals, sure. But still, there are chances. You have to look for the way, the easy way. Anybody can do it. But if there's no animals, you encourage people to have some, keep animals and support. If you don't have land, you encourage people to keep some animals. There are people, those who want to rear animals still. And skill is gone lost. The skill of raising animals and keeping two bullocks and training them and plowing the land and the depth of the soil and soil fertility, the bull will shit. Your tractor will drop the diesel drops. That's the difference. That's why I make some difference. Otherwise, I'm not very touchy about this thing. But I'm trying to be that just how, what is happening after your plowing is important. But does it plowing, what depth? After what happens to your soil is an issue because the condition is an issue. And what kind of soil you have? I think the compact soil is totally like a compacted soil after 2-inch depth. I think you are making more compact. No life will be there. Soil compaction is the first. Second is no life will be there. How your soil will become a living soil? If you have a deep soil is there and you have a big 100 acres are there, you cannot plow with the plow, do it. But soils also varies from place to place, region to region. What soil depth yours? How long you want to do with the tractor? You want to go back or you want to do with the same agriculture? You want to change yourself? When you don't want to change yourself, how can you change the agriculture practices? So these are all just, of course, you might be doing tractor plow, but you have to rethink. There is a slow and small solutions are possible. There's a very good approach of another permaculture principle. You can see with which crop is done by this. Every crop you do with the compaction soil, they don't like. And moreover, life which is living in that, when you, the living entity is important. I think that is where we are missing. I think I'm not anti to that, but I never do a big propaganda, you do go with tractor. But if somebody is doing, I don't say no also. There's a few chances, but you have to realize, you have to keep always continuously keep thinking, what is happening to your soil? What is happening to your microbes, your crop and health of the crop? Any wild habitat is happening there? What are the insects are coming? How much fertility, how much water is absorbed? Or what is the crop, health of crop? Production limit, yield is limit. So this is some of the continuous of your revision of your knowledge, and you're just here to respond to change. Again, same thing, and accept feedback. What is the nature is happening?
Ma'am, you want to add something? Oh, no. So I one thing I was wondering is, because maybe you can briefly, because we've been talking around this topic, but then maybe just maybe say a little about, you know, living soil. Like you said, this whole, because I feel sometimes maybe not all listeners fully might grasp this idea of how all your wealth and everything in the land has got to do with building a site for microbial activity. If the microbes are happy, the soil is happy and life is happy. So maybe just a little about, and this is what we're, in many ways, is the microbial ecosystem that we're disturbing when we go in with, whether it's chemical fertilizers or pesticides. And in many ways, even our health, our microbial ecosystem and our bodies are happy, then we are healthy. And that's connected to the food we eat, how rich in diverse it is. So could you just maybe say a little about that for those who might not be fully aware of the links?
Like, what I feel is like your soil health is directly connected to your health.
Mm-hmm.
So unless if you don't realize that, it will be like in future, it will be more health issues will come. Like the soil health, how you define it. So like how you see soil as a living thing, because so much of life in it, how like that realization should come. Soil we are seeing as just a material, but it's not correct. But the soil has a full of life. Because if you plant a tree, if there is so much of biomass around it, you can see, just you can see the temperatures. You can see the temperatures, the open space and the mulching space. because there is a lot of life in it. The life is generating a coolness to your soil. The activity is going on in the soil and it is facilitating. They are working for us. They are facilitating a plant, take the nutrients to the plant, and it, though it is giving good food for us. So if there is no microbes, what are the material which you are using in the soil, it does not give any nutrition to the plant. Then you are, because the plant, the soil is healthy, you will get a good product, nutritious food. If you consume that, you are healthy. The connection, that realization should come for the everyone. If the soil is the key for everyone, whatever the biomass which is degradable in the soil and give back to the soil, that's where soil is asking for it. Now entire soil is like, if you see the organic content in the soil is very, very low. Entire all soil testing labs are speaking about it. Okay, so our contribution as a human contribution, whatever the waste which you are generating, just give back to the soil with a good manner. So the Mother Earth is giving so much of food for us. The whatever the residues which you are creating, just give back to them. Give back to the soil. Then microbes will be happy. So they are working for us. Only we thinking that we are working for so much to produce the food. No. It's like one part of the thing, like 100 parts of the work, they are working for us. Even all microbes, some of the visible things, some of the non-visible things is working for us.
Yeah.
This is a very, again, same little, I wanted to put it in different way also. That is the living, I think, who cares whether living or dead? That's the issue. Only we are, that is all our mad people will talk that kind of language. But when you are not able to grow certain crops or a lot of susceptible to pests and vulnerable to a lot of diseases, that's an indicator of your microbial life in the soil. The simple, that's a living. The less problems and in a form that is, soil is taking care of, it's a, there's a balance in the nature, there is a less pest, less diseases are there, not there. This living soil. I cannot show every farmer taking a spoon of soil and billions of insects in the microbes in the soil, not like that. But it is a simple way to understand the soil. We have to keep soil is alive by adding some more what you are growing or what is next to you or what it is already produced. This as far as the agriculture people are concerned. There's no agriculture and how to save the earth. I think there is also issue, not environment by planting trees. Also you have to don't abuse the resources which you are using. Don't burn it. Don't throw everywhere. You systematically arrange in such a which can go back to the soil. Directly, indirectly, you are helping the farming Mother Earth by burying them and keeping them, the more microbial multiplication is happening. They are our chefs and cooks. I think that the everything, what you are putting your thing is not even 1%. But they are taking their own nutrition from different sources and here, most of the trees which are already in the nature like nitrogen fixers, legumes, they take 78% of nitrogen is available in the atmosphere. That they are making, the taking, they absorb and they will fix nitrogen to the soil. They are not depending on your urea, DAP, whatever the synthetic or artificial fertilizers you are providing. Never. They have their mechanism, they don't believe, they don't trust you, first of all, plant. They are very clever. I think, but we didn't understand the other side of the kind, what kind of life they are living. If you understand, you get into the microbial life system, I think your miracles you can look at the things, how they behave, how they do day, how they gather, how they do nice parties, how they dance, how they sing. I think this is the biggest, one of the biggest world. I think you never see that kind of population anywhere on this planet Earth. I think always if you look on the ground, above the ground, you look at up and down, I think that world is totally different. Unless if you don't see that, you never understand what is life. I think what's the microbes, what is the chefs and cooks of our planet Earth today to get some food for us.
Beautiful. I love the microbes are the chefs of the planet Earth. That's quite, it's like Narsen had to come up with these phrases that are memorable. I think maybe one, we have a few more minutes left. And while we're waiting for some more questions to come in, maybe I was wondering, So I've just, you've taught so many batches of PDC students, and you work with like thousands and lakhs of farmers and farmer households and so on. Do you feel more hopeful about change and about, you know, and we're living in what I would think are fairly obvious climate change times. There's droughts and floods and forest fires the world over, definitely in India, cyclones and floods and so on. So do you feel hopeful and because you've had the long view of so many years of working on the field and with folks everywhere, farmers, as well as now lots of urban people who are coming to you trying to understand how to change their lives maybe in small ways. So do you feel hopeful, and what can you just maybe, for those of us who are in urban areas who are maybe just looking to start in small ways, what are the things they could do? I think you already talked about some of this, composting and so on, but is there more you could share there?
Yeah, I have, of course, everybody has hopes. I also one of them. I don't much expectations. I have a little hope. Make it very possible hope. Otherwise, impossible hope. If you have, you never meet that and you will never get satisfied. You will get disappointed. That's my whole idea about it. And looking at the, the people with whom I'm working and whatever the experience I got, I think I have hope, definitely. But the hope, again, it should be realistic. And I'm not looking for big hope. I think let us redefine, rethink. You cannot change. I think climate change is one of the big slogans has given. I started calling them as a climate chaos is going on more than change. I don't know what exactly it is. I think just you think and you do your job. Don't think about only climate change, but we forget doing our jobs and then we're thinking about climate change, it will become a chaos. So that one thing I wanted to say. And then you redefine, rethink about the things also, the sayings are there the Copenhagen Climate Change Conference I attended in 2009, I think. So water is the biggest issue actually. So in that, I didn't say much, but I started saying, my talk started with there is a saying in our houses, most of the time that when children will spending money like water, why you are doing like that and you are spending entire money like water? I think I changed the slogan simply. So don't spend water like money. So that's where it is giving two meanings. One is we are living in a capitalism. Money is sufficient, but your health and your resources in what we are all to be mortgaged. Health is mortgaged in hospitals and our resources are mortgaged to somebody, MNCs, corporates. I think how you look at these issues, I think it's very, very important. And this message for urban people, I think you do what is happening with every pie, every single paisa you are saving, where it is being spent. I think you do it for best cause, not just use for the best cause of planting tree and helping others nearby, seed saving, small composting, small just having the exchange of resources, knowledge, materials, and every week you meet somewhere, exchange your seeds and resources and materials and information skills and communication. Everything is possible. I think that is where you have to get satisfied. Instead of growing your money plant in your house, you plant something which can flower and give some food. I think that is where you are going to meet your, just link up with your hunger and look at your little bit, whatever you're eating, you should know your food, where does it come from, what is, how many things you are eating, how many kind of type of food you are eating every day, what is coming to your plate is important. If you know their name, I think definitely you're realize what is, how hard work it is going around that food. I think definitely you respect farmer. I think who is growing them, how they are sending, how much is able to do that. I think what is the responsibility of yours to do indirectly, though you don't have land, but a small space to start growing something, do your own compost, growing your own food, growing your own compost also.
Yeah.
Grow your own soil, grow your own knowledge and your ethics. These are also important, not only growing own food is a little limited, but limitations, don't limit yourself. You get into different steps. That's what my message to the particularly urban people. I think you have a you have a where you can have this kind of things. You don't get much spaces for do that kind of thing. I think wherever there is small opportunity, that's what exactly nature does. Nature does not leave a single opportunity. It is doesn't grow the tree, it will send the grasses. If grasses doesn't work, go to the shrub. Shrub doesn't grow, the vines. I think every opportunity try to use. I think urban people also, you are limited, very limited areas, limited opportunities. You use those single opportunity how to interact with the life, plant, seed. These are very, very interesting. I think you can do much better and much many things and miracles in your even small spaces. That's why that would be my message. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am?
Like those who are living in the cities, always they cannot be thinking about only like growing up the food, like even connecting to the farmers, those who are producing. Like they should have a connection, those who are producing the food, and they should, like they know how it is being growing, then how it is transferring into as a food. And what are the resources which you have, how we conserve them, like electricity, water, heat, whatever the things it is available in the city, like how we can conserve them. It's also a great contribution to the nature. So like that also we can reduce even air conditions, all these things, whatever resources, energies which you are using. And also like how much chemicals which you are using at home to use to cleaning the things like Harpic, like dishwash and other things. Instead of that, bio enzymes like this, there are the soap nuts, there are many things, alternative things. Start thinking about that. Like that, we don't produce so much of waste, and also we can reduce our consumerism and conservation of energies. These things are the great contribution to the Mother Earth. So we don't feel bad about we are not doing anything living in the cities. This is also a contribution to the nature. And also, like the kind of food, vegetables are which is coming from, try to give priority, which is chemical free. Then people also start growing the same kind of food, seasonal food. And don't think about non-seasonal, because always you eat the seasonal food, you will be resistant for many diseases.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much. We are almost at the end of our time. And as a final closing question, we generally ask all our speakers this, which is how can we as a community of volunteers, the service-based community, support your work in the world? And you can, if something comes up now, you can tell us, or you can tell us any other time. But if there's anything we can do, do let us know.
Yeah, whatever you heard and trust us, and you try to spread that concept and principles or ethics, whatever. That's what I expect from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am?
The same thing, like whatever you believe, try to practice it, adapt it, and then promote it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It has been such a rich call. I would just, there's just so many nuggets as always that stand out for me, but I think that's just a living example in terms of how to be the change, do more, speak less, see everybody's resources and gifts and wisdom all the time, respect microbes as the chefs of the earth above and below. And I just, so many beautiful nuggets, and just in gratitude for this time we've spent together, I invite everyone to close this call with a minute of silence so that we can just sit with that and take it into our wider world. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recording of Awaken Calls. To access archives, visit us at www.awaken.org. And to get more involved, volunteer at www.servicespace.org.